This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Which you probably heard right here on KFKA, Mike.
Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
31-28 Jacksonville beats the Chiefs. The Chiefs now dropped to 2-3. The Raiders lost over the weekend. The Chargers lost over the weekend. This is, yeah. Jacksonville is going to be a tough football team. That's going to be a tough football team. We were talking yesterday about potential playoff teams, and that was a gutsy performance. I thought this thing was going to go south for Jacksonville when Trevor Lawrence dives over the end zone and it fumbles it before he can cross the line with that. I thought that was the right call because the ball was coming out of his hands. I mean, the fans were looking at it and it looked like the ball was across, like it was touching. It was lined up with the goal line, but if it's moving around when it happens, that's a fumble. But he made up for it. Did you see the final play? Or, well, not the final play, but the play that really decided this game with Trevor Lawrence falling down. His right guard stepped on his foot. He tripped, and he tripped again. And then he got up and ran in for the touchdown.
Yeah, that was a pretty rad move.
You know what it reminded me of in the scene Waterboy? When Coach Klein's watching film and they're going. The Mud Dogs are going up against team. The receiver drops the ball as he's running for a touchdown. Drops the ball. Coach Klein's like describing it, and he's like, and, you know, here's their receiver. Oh, he accidentally dropped the ball, and he has time to turn around, pick it up, and dust it off before our guys even know what the hell's going on. And a touchdown. That's what it reminded me of. I mean, if you're Kansas City, and your championship DNA. And you let this play take place, there's big problems.
Second pass interference call against the Chiefs tonight. It's first and goal with 30 seconds left. Now Lawrence goes down, has to get up, breaks the tackle, touchdown Jacksonville.
That was excellent. Trevor Lawrence, like, I'll admit, Mike, I haven't found myself watching a lot of Jacksonville games over the last couple of years, but he's fun to watch.
Nobody's been watching the Jacksonville games over the last...
They might.
Since they've existed.
Well, Liam Cohen, the coach, and can I say this, Mike? That might be the nicest coach, maybe the more player-friendly coach in the NFL right now. Just watching his interactions on the sidelines, seeing how the players were talking to him, he's closing his eyes like on defense. He's nervous. His halftime conversations were so polite. And I know that doesn't win football games all the time. And he's the Duval guy, right? He's the Duval, you know? And he even admitted, he's like, yeah, I got lost in the moment. I heard it and said it wrong, and then people made fun of me, whatever. He owned it. That's a good football team. And I got to say, you know who looked exactly like he did in college last night? Travis freaking Hunter. That guy made some moves. He made some critical catches. He's doing just fine playing both ways. Now, three catches for 64 yards, but they were big catches. Big catches for him. And one was he just caught it for like 3 yards and made two dudes miss. His speed is certainly translating to the NFL. Big Hub says, looks like a lack of effort by the defense. Kansas City just looks a step off. They have hot, nasty speed. Like, their top three receivers are fast. And when it's going, it looks really good. But there were just a few moments. I mean, this was a typical Kansas City win, wasn't it? This is what we've seen in years past. Oh, they have 20. The final drive to get the touchdown. Okay, now they're gonna do something defensively and end this thing. Or 23 seconds left on the clock to end this thing. Kansas City's got three timeouts. They're gonna find a way to get some first downs and get in field goal range at least, or maybe even crazier. But that's not this miraculous team anymore. And they were bailed out a little bit. There was an offensive pass interference call on a Travis Kelce touchdown. And they called it pass interference. And Mahomes and Kelce are like going at the ref, and then they picked up the flag. That looked like it. There was a few calls. The interception the Chiefs had when the Jags were up seven, they had an interception. Another defensive back like knocked over the receiver before the ball got there. And then it just left an open corner. Everything was setting up for the Chiefs to pull that off. So we talk about a big win for the Broncos, which it was, beating Philadelphia. Everything's going against you in that game, and I'm not a big, the fix is in, the refs, whatever, but you can't help watch Chiefs games and feel that way. That being said, I'm also not the guy, like I said yesterday, I'm not going to sit here and beat calls to death. They miss interference calls all the time. They got an interference call right for Jacksonville that would have made it a fourth down if they wouldn't have called it. Or actually, I think it would have been an interception. But they got that right. So it's always a mixed bag. And I know the Chiefs seem like they're the ones, the recipient of a lot of those calls. But this was a big night for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Finding a way to beat the Chiefs. And now the Broncos are in that tie spot, number one, with the Chargers. Chargers have the tiebreaker. But you're feeling really good. You're feeling really good about your chances. They're going to be favorites in their next, I don't know, man, 3, 4, 5 games. Now, this is your opportunity. Chiefs lost, Raiders lost, Chargers lost. You have to go to London. You're already there. And you have to take care of your business against a lesser team in the New York Jets. There's just no excuses.
An 0-5 Jets that's giving up 175 points on the season.
This would be nice to see a 1-2-3-4 quarter game from Bo Nix. Because I think we can agree in that Philly game, first half, fourth quarter, wow. Hey, if you could pick when you want your quarterback to turn it on and be great, close games in the fourth quarter, which I consider 17-3 still a close game, I'll take it. But I do think, Mike, the jury is still out on Bo as far as what kind of quarterback he's going to be. But that fourth quarter, I think, answered a lot of questions. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. So it was a Monday night thriller between the Kansas City Chiefs and Jacksonville Jaguars. It went our way. So pumped about that. It's good. Later on the show, we're going to talk to Mike Brohard. I believe Jay Norvell is speaking now at his press conference, and he's not going anywhere today. Kevin Lytle was on Good Morning NoCo, and he was at practice yesterday. All systems go. And I'm not going to sit here and say John Weber's making a bad decision, because I think whether you hang on or you move on, that's the right decision. I know it sounds like I'm riding the fence, but I just don't see what there is to gain by necessarily keeping him or necessarily firing him. I don't see it. And hey, worst case scenario, he does exactly what he's been doing and they just fizzle and they don't have to pay him the 1.7. Best case scenario, something finally clicks for CSU, you go on an epic run and he wins his job and the Rams are playing in the Mountain West Conference Championship game. Which I think will almost, maybe that would be mathematically impossible. If they lose to Fresno State on Friday night. Now, I don't know. The Mount West is pretty
terrible,
pretty shaky. They're beating each other up. You say terrible and whatever, I'll give you that. But they're also like nobody's a juggernaut in this conference. You have Fresno's two. I mean, what would you say the loss count is to not go to the Mountain West Championship game? If you lose three. Because you have all at the top, Fresno, UNLV, and again, they've only played like one or two games in the conference. Fresno State, UNLV, San Diego State, Boise State, Utah State, San Jose State are all undefeated in conference right now. And now Colorado State's 0-1. Air Force is 0-3. That is, would you feel comfortable saying 0-3 for Air Force? They're not going to be in the Mountain West Championship game. What's the loss number?
Yeah, I think if you lose three, you are done.
Yeah, you're done. So lose to Fresno State, then it's pretty much you have to win out. But we're stretching this conversation with Jay Norvell, right? We're stretching it out. Like every week, it's, well, you got to go 500 in conference play or in non-conference play. Okay, you didn't do that. Well, you got to start out 1-0. Okay, you didn't do that. Well, now you got to probably win out or go, what are there, 7 games remaining? Go 6-1? And that's just going to keep stretching out as we go here. And Fresno State, I believe, is a favorite on Friday night. And I would imagine CSU is going to be a dog in a lot of these games.
I totally agree with you on sort of being on the fence with Jay Norvell. I wouldn't fire him either.
I wouldn't.
Who are you going to replace him with?
Right.
If you're losing with Jay Norvell, if you keep losing with Jay Norvell, you're probably going to lose with one of the coordinators who's not going to be your future.
Very rarely does it happen where things are so bad you have to fire a coach midseason and then the interim coach comes in and it's all good. I think it happened with Boise, but they ended up not liking him anyway, so that didn't work out for him.
Look what just happened in Los Angeles between UCLA and Penn State. We'll see what happens in week two. Maybe that was Penn State sleepwalking.
Yeah, Penn State, that was a bad loss.
That was a very bad loss.
Very bad loss. So, I mean, it's possible. But it's like I say about the quarterback carousel. You're the coach for that reason. If there was a better coach, we'd be seeing. Mike, how do coordinators and position coaches get elevated? How do they get better jobs?
There are a lot of firings.
Well, my point was, typically you see, their linebackers are the best in the Mountain West. So that linebacker's coach, he is really good. He's going to get elevated to defensive coordinator soon. And then, his defense, 4 years in a row, they're the tops. He's going to get a job somewhere. That's how that works. Vance Joseph was a head coach, was a D coordinator, did so well, got a head coach job, did so poorly, got knocked back down to defensive coordinator. Doing so well at defensive coordinator, he might get a head coaching job. He probably will get a head coaching job again. That's how it works. For CSU, name a unit. That's great. The running backs coach? I mean, their running backs are pretty good. But Owen Long's pretty good, so the linebackers coach. There's not a unit on this team where you just go, that is a top team. That is a top group right there. You don't have that with Colorado State right now. So it just, and again, the 1.7, I think it is, it just doesn't make sense to me, to my brain. Now, I was tweeting a lot on Friday night, and I said it makes zero chance they can keep going this route. And more or less, I kind of meant for the future, for the not like the direct foreseeable future, but down the road. This is a lost season. It sure feels like you're 1-4, and you're 1-4. These are ugly losses. These are against teams that are not world beaters. And the one win, we all know, we don't have to keep rehashing it. But that doesn't mean that I don't look at this season and say, like, this is the first time in a long time. Last year, they were 2-3 in non-conference play, and I still believe that this team could get better. They weren't the team I thought they would be when they went up against, obviously, Texas and CU. But I still thought there was something there. I liked the run game. I liked the defense. And that actually ended up working out for this team. I do not feel the same way. The reason I suggested to people when they asked me, like, over-unders, well, it was really low. It was really low in this game, the San Diego State-CSU game. And I suggested the over because I don't think, and right before the broadcast, they're like, both these defenses are really good. And I have not seen a CSU defense be really good. I've seen lesser offenses. Yeah, they played well against UTSA. That was an offense that was putting up a lot of points, and they played well. But I didn't see enough. And against their opponents, that made me think this defense is really good. And that's why I felt comfortable thinking San Diego State might get that over by themselves. I think they did. So I'll be curious to see what Jay had to say today. Mike Brohard will be on with us. I promise we won't get into play calling because that, as far as I'm concerned, it's Matt Mummy. We're moving, whatever. I don't know who was calling plays, but Lytle said it appeared that Mummy was calling the majority of the plays, if not all of them.
I mean, you probably won't talk about it unless the entire press conference is about play calling.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen.
No, then there's grumblings about a quarterback change, go back to BFN or... You stay this course until it gets really bad. I mean, you've only got this opportunity. You got Fresno State. If you don't win that, then that's going to be, you're not going to, more than likely, you're not in the Mount West Championship game. And that's what we all kind of felt needed to happen in order for this team to stay the course with Jay Norvell.
I think this week is their Mountain West Championship game. You win this week, and congratulations, you won your championship for the year.
The which one? Oh, this?
For CSU.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how many wins they're going to get. Maybe Wyoming.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, some wild stuff can happen with Wyoming and with Air Force. Like, those are your rivals, but they are just bad.
Yeah, it's rough. Big Hub says, I hate to talk bad about my alma mater, but this looks worse than my years at CSU. Yeah, and Big Hub was on with CSU during some rough times because that was the end of the Bobo era and the beginning of the Adazio era. And that was tough because Bobo ended in a rough way, health-wise too, and then Adazio joined. He had the first year, the COVID year, which... They played like, I don't know, 4 or 5 games.
If you want to asterisk anything, the COVID year.
Yep.
Is one gigantic yep. asterisk.
Yes, like the Lakers' false Mickey Mouse championship.
Yeah, I was saying like anyone who wins a championship that year, everyone's going to say it's not legitimate.
Yes, and I feel even if that would have been the Nuggets. The Nuggets made history in that playoffs, those playoffs, Mike. They were the first team to be down twice in a row, 3-1, 3-1, in a playoff, in a series, and they came back and won both of those series. That's historic now. That was the first team to ever do it. I really don't recognize it that much. It was awesome. It was fun for the time. It was neat, but it's not the same. They're not traveling. They're not dealing with home and away courts. There's no crowd. It's not your typical setting. There's a reason that they have crowds there. There's a reason they make you travel back and forth. It was not a true playoff. So even though they made history, I don't fully recognize it. That's just the way it is.
Because it was the Nuggets, did anyone send ESPN, a ESPN reporter out there to cover the Nuggets? Or were they just like, it's not the Lakers, so... Meh.
Well, the Lakers in the bubble?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Lakers, that was the year they won it. So I know, there were reporters there.
Did they have someone covering the Nuggets?
Yeah, they had Lisa Salters, who said, I didn't know much about Joker's game, even though she was one of the reporters that was allowed in the bubble, and the Nuggets were one of four there, so how do you not pay attention to them? That was odd to me.
Does she still have a job?
Yeah, she does. She does. Big Hub, I won the boot in 2020, so I'll keep that year. Yeah, and I don't blame you if you were in that game and you want to say no. We're counting it. Yeah, that's fine. But as a fan and whatever, hard for me to fully recognize that.
Yeah, my team didn't get to play Washington State because of COVID issues, so that year doesn't count.
Yeah, we also got top stories of the day coming up. Nuggets played in a preseason game last night. Joker is just screwing around. He's experimenting, man. He's making crazy passes in this game. It was cool to see. I was more on the Monday Night Football game. I do have a hard time watching preseason basketball and hockey. I will say that's different than football. It can be on the TV. I'm watching what I can. Basketball, it is more difficult. So I was definitely more on the Monday Night Football game last night, especially because it was the Chiefs and I was rooting for the Jags to pull this off, which they did. So that's where I was focused. But we have the real deal tonight. Mike, the real deal tonight. And
yeah,
you can hear Avs Kings tonight.
Pre-game at 8.
Pre-game at 8. We get the 8:30. Although, didn't Tanner Bryan say it's already like moving around a little bit to a later time? I'm not excited about that. That's going to be a late night. But hey, I'm in 100%.
It's an early night for me.
I'm going to be watching this, dialed in, ready to go. And of course, here at KFKA, we are an affiliate. So we will have Nuggets and Avs games. We will have Broncos games. We will have college football games and NFL Sunday and Thursday night, Monday night. There's no reason for you to leave KFKA. So we'll get into the Avs a little bit. Maybe we'll see what the dude down the hall is up to. Talk to him. Logan O'Connor is out to start the season for the Avs. This is going to be... I was reading Keeler's article in the Denver Post, and you might want to log this away. Mike, can you guess what the average age of the Colorado Avalanche roster is today? The average age.
20.
Mm-mm. Just
19.
Think opposite of what you're thinking.
40.
You're getting closer, but...
39.
You're getting closer, but slowly, like at a snail's pace.
36.
Again, better, but you're overshooting the moon here. 29.7. This is the oldest the Avalanche's roster has been since 2007. Can you believe that?
Oh my God!
Well, I think this is a good thing. Plus, you got Gabriel Landeskog activated to start the season, and I think that that's a good thing. You bring in this wisdom, this pedigree with you, and
yeah, but the problem
I like
is
it.
They're all going to be complaining about today's music. They're going to say young people. Ugh.
No, I think this is a good thing. This is a good thing for the Avs. So we'll get into some of that throughout the day today. Broncos talk, college football in the area, what to expect. We'll get all that. And then LeBron James had a second decision. And I knew, had a feeling it was going to be some kind of gimmick. And we'll get to that with our top stories of the day. The good, the bad, the ugly coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Sweat it, NoCo. With cooler temperatures upon us, that only means more red-hot takes. A Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back into the whole show. Powered by Chevron. We're live from the Aloe Fiber Studios here. Michael, let's do this. We got to get back to this. The good, the bad, the ugly from the last 24 hours or so. Thanks to FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good for me. All of the AFC West loses except for your Denver Broncos. That's the recipe. And now you got to take advantage of it. Now you have to beat a team you're supposed to beat in London. Weird setting, weird situation, but this is your opportunity. Go take it. Get win number 4. Start to put some distance between yourselves and the Raiders. And then set up for those games against the Chiefs to potentially be the deciding factor in who's at least going to finish at second place. And keep your sights on that number one spot, which right now belongs to the Chargers. The bad for me is really, we're complaining. You know, Eagles fans are complaining. Should have been pass interference. I'm watching the Chiefs and Jags game last night. There's just some bad calls. And I think that's part of, yeah, you want the refs to be perfect, but that's part of the game. There's been some pretty miserable calls this year in the NFL. Or no calls or whatever. And then the ugly for me is Ben Powers. I don't know if you heard that, Michael, but the Broncos are going to be after getting such a big win over the Eagles, they are now placing Ben Powers on injured reserve with biceps tear, according to sources. He had surgery to repair the bicep Monday. He'll miss at least 2 months, according to sources.
Oh my God, we're going to be powerless.
That's a tough one. And when you found out that he was going to have to fly back to Denver instead of go with the team to London. But what was crazy is he played all 74 offensive snaps against Philadelphia. He pushed through. So that's tough.
He's a powerful dude.
He is. So now where they'll go is Palcheski. I've heard Wyoming guys like Frank Crum, but Frank Crum's kind of a right tackle. I guess you could move guys around. They're going to have some shuffling to do on that offensive line, certainly the ugly. But I would imagine Matt Pert is one as far as the possible candidate, and then Alex as well.
As long as Pert doesn't get hurt.
Yeah. During training camp, Pert served as the primary backup at left tackle and left guard. Texter here says, I would like to check Micah into the boards. I resemble that remark. Yeah. I would do a little hockey talk mixed in with Michael. That'd be fun. Could I do that once? Just one clear shot, you don't move, check you into the boards. Would that be cool?
As long as it's not this board.
No, like hockey. I can't skate. Well, I can't stop, which is actually better for this. So
I can't skate or stop.
I can put ice skates on and skate around. My fear of not being able to stop is why I don't, though. But I could put the skates on, get out there, and move, but I would fall eventually. And that's okay. As long as I can get up enough speed, then just fall into you.
As long as someone gives me skates and a trash can, like those children, to just skate along.
Yeah, I've done that before, too. And that was the safe thing, because you're worried about falling. But I think once I could get some momentum going, I could be fine. It's just the stopping part. But we got hockey back. Three NHL games tonight. I believe Thursday is going to be the big day where every NHL team is playing. What are the expectations for the Avalanche? We'll get into that a little bit later on in the program. Last night also, we had the Denver Nuggets in their preseason game. How much do you want to take from this? I mean, whenever the Raptors put like full court pressure on the Nuggets' backup guards, that was kind of scary. Jalen Pickett, Strother, Tim Hardaway, Brown. That was kind of the main second unit. And when those guards were handling the ball and there was pressure put on them, they were struggling with that kind of thing. So, I just can't really take anything away from preseason basketball. Questions around this team. Can Jalen Pickett be kind of consistent for this? A consistent answer. Julian Strother, will we see him take the next step? Is Peyton Watson going to be asked to handle the ball a little bit more when you're in those intense kind of ball pressure situations? So I'll be curious to see kind of how that one was. But Toronto did, you know, everything that I read, and I'm just going back and forth between the Monday Night Football game and the preseason game, mainly on the Monday Night game. But that's kind of what I noticed was when Toronto showed, and I didn't see the Joker pass live when he just kind of like, I mean, it was like a sidearm throw underneath the basket to go clear across court. It was beautiful. I didn't see it live, but I saw the replay of it. But Joker's definitely messing around out there, experimenting a bit. Jamal Murray looked really good. He was 5 for 5. Had made some tough threes off the dribble. And I think he's been the main bright spot. Not that there's been a lot of dark spots for the Nuggets in the preseason, but Jamal looks like he's in, you know, February form for the Nuggets right now, which is huge. You know, last season, this team talked about being able to get to stretches of games where they're winning like 10 in a row more often than not. Like, they're not going to win two and then, lose two, win two and then lose one and then win one. They want to get to this where they have big stretches where they can go dominate and go after that number one or two seed. You don't want to get to the point where you have to play OKC again. And I know we're already talking about that. It's early. Michael hates playoff talks early, but that's what the regular season is. All the regular season is about setting yourself up for the playoffs. The Nuggets will be a playoff team. It's just the question is, where will they sit and who will they be matched up against? Because the Thunder or the Timberwolves are the two teams that I do certainly worry about. I think a deeper Nuggets team, I'm not as scared. I'm not as concerned about the Timberwolves. But OKC, until proven otherwise, is the team to beat.
Playoffs?
First
you're
advantage.
Playoffs?
Text
it's
line 888-530-0043. This is what you're playing for. Seeding. Because if the Nuggets would have got a better seed last year, they wouldn't have had the Thunder in the second round. And maybe they get them in the Western Conference Finals, and you get a little more worn-out Thunder team, as opposed to the opposite, where it was the Nuggets in that situation. So that's why it's 82 games, but they are significant. And the Nuggets kind of were up and down to start the season last year, and that's what this is about, is setting yourself up so that by the time you're into February, you're not looking back and going, man, if we just would have got our crap together in November, we wouldn't be... I mean, the Nuggets, about a month before the playoffs, Mike, maybe less, probably less, we were asking the questions, like, would they potentially be a play-in team? And the way it was going, the Nuggets needed to win their final three games to secure the spot that they got last season. And that's part of the reason they fired Michael Malone, because, hey, they didn't think they could get there. And they thought they might be a play-in team. You don't want it to come down to 3 to 10 games where if you don't find a lot of success in the last 10 games, you're flirting with a play-in spot. You want it to be, we've locked up a 1 or 2 seed, which I believe the Nuggets are one of those. We locked that up with 10 games to go. With 7 games to go. And that's why you want a Jamal Murray looking like he's in February form. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Renaissance Insurance Group in Windsor. They are a fiercely independent insurance brokerage with a regional presence. They'll get you going with your farming operations. They'll help you insure those farming operations, personal insurance needs, workers' compensation, risk management. Talk to Renaissance Insurance. Talk to Ryan at 970-674-8825. 11:41 the time, Michael. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on The Hull Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
I'm excited about, you know, the simple fact that Gabriel Landeskog is going to be starting the season out for the Avs. I mean, Mike, this is not just for the Avalanche, not just for hockey. This is one of the more amazing comebacks in sports history. I mean, I know there's going to be a lot that are over that, but this guy was out for what was it, 2.5 years? And so many people, including yours truly, were like, this isn't happening. Because you'd always get a report, right? You'd always get something that said, oh, he's out on the ice. He's skating. At morning skate, he was out there skating. And then crickets for like several weeks after that. Then you get another one surface. Oh, Gabriel Landeskog skating. Chris McFarland. My gosh, I almost called him Seth McFarland, the Family Guy dude. Chris McFarland was like very cryptic when talking about it last season. You know, when he was asked about it, well, you know, we see him skate sometimes, and then, but I'll let you guys kind of run with that how you will. Most took that as yeesh, not going to be good. But it turns out he meant it as he will play at some point, and we did see him play, and it was a cool thing with him playing for the Eagles. That was awesome. My in-laws actually went to that game, one of the two games, Mike, and they got one of the jerseys. They hooked me up. I have a Gabriel Landeskog Colorado Eagles jersey.
And didn't they also, like, run out? They had to reorder those jerseys because so many people
wanted
them?
Yeah, they ran out. But you could order them, and that's what they had to do because they didn't get them there at the game.
I wonder if you can still get them
online. You might be able to.
I'm going to look right
now. They lucked out, too. They just picked a random game. They like to go to Eagles games. They're not like diehard hockey fans. They just like to go. And it just so happened the game they got tickets for in months in advance just so happened to be Gabriel Landeskog's return to hockey, to actual playing hockey. Big Val, I mean, he's had the 2 years of postseason turmoil, but it sounds like, you know, Bednar saying all the right things, and mentally the guy's better than ever. He played more than 65 games for the first time. You know, he hasn't played more than 65 games for the first since, what, 2016 or 17? And then the last 3 years, you started to have the other junk happen for this guy. So if you can just get this human physically right, mentally right, I mean, the difference he makes for this team. I mean, he's that good of a player where he's the difference between are you a playoff team or more. So that part of it I'm excited about. You got Brock Nelson signed in with the 3-year contract. They got him to go. I know a lot of Avs fans were excited about that. Marty Natchez became such a big acquisition last season. This team's going to be good. And when I'm bringing up the old thing, like, I think it's a positive thing. Keeler was talking about, like, the average is 29.7 is the average age on this team. I think that this is the perfect year to have a bunch of wily vets.
You cannot get a Gabriel Landeskog Eagles jersey except on eBay. Someone is selling one for $139.92. There is one active offer.
How much are they selling it for?
$139.92. And I believe this is a bidding thing. There is one active offer. I don't know what the person has offered for it.
I wonder if the Avs go win a championship,
another
cup, and Gabriel Landeskog's like obviously a big part of that, if that number goes up. I have no interest in selling it, but that would be cool to own that. I haven't even taken it out of, like, we got it in a box and stuff. I haven't even taken it out.
Yeah, that's like one of those Star Wars toys. Like, if
yeah,
you
like
have one, never
course,
take it out.
Of course, you would go with that. You make reference to toys, so I'm talking about.
Well,
man,
it's a collectible.
Men's jerseys.
It's a collectible.
Yes.
Much like those Funko Pops, which you can get, Brady, at
Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor.
Boom.
Thanks, Mike. You don't control me. Why are you trying to drive the show? Aaron, you have to do it as a custom jersey. So now you do, if you want to do it? You have to, like, customize it, put Landeskog on the back? Yeah. But this was actually in honor of Gabriel Landeskog playing for the Eagles for those few games.
But these aren't the ones that, like, are official. The official ones, I think, are the ones that say UC Health on them.
I believe that's mine. I'll double check. I'll have to peek in there, but I'll double check. But it's...
Yeah, the picture of this one on eBay says UC Health, and that's their little sponsor.
That would mean that was made specifically for that stretch, right?
Yeah.
First event is text line 888-530-0043. Eric Johnson retired. We mentioned that a couple of weeks or days ago. We knew that was coming, but I was listening to his press conference, and I guess he's going to be doing some media stuff with the folks at Altitude TV as well, so I'm excited to hear more from him. But there is just something about Avalanche players when they, obviously throughout their process, when they play, but when they're done, they're so relatable. I think that's why hockey needs to continue to make a big push, because fans really, really can relate to a lot of these dudes. And hearing Eric Johnson, man, he sounded like just one of the fellas in his retirement speech. And he's the dude that maybe had one too many cocktails during their parade. And he's like, do you remember the clip? He's like, Denver, like he was kind of slurring a little bit, called it different, but I guess he gets a bunch of crap for that. But
or maybe it's because he had no teeth.
Now he can put teeth in, so they're going to put him on TV.
Yeah, there you go.
Isn't that crazy? You play hockey, you pretty much know you're going to lose teeth. And by the time you're in your 30s, you're going to have false teeth everywhere.
Yeah, you're going to look like Chris Ricci. Look,
that's why these guys are different. They're cut from a different cloth, man.
Yeah. And I think that's part of the reason why hockey is, and I love football very much, but hockey is, when it comes to the fan base, like, players are so accessible. Like, they seem so down to earth because they're small enough And this goes throughout, like, the Eagles and even the lower hockey franchises. It's small enough to where, like, you can get to know these guys better.
Yeah, the Eagles are fun because of that. Yeah, no question. Top stories of the day coming up. Big news involving Shedeur Sanders and more. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
From preps to college to the pros, we have your football on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hill on the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
Wow. Time flies, Mike, when you're kind of having fun. We got the top stories of the day coming up. As I said, big stuff going on between Cleveland and Cincinnati. What does that mean for Shedeur Sanders? Mike Brohard will join us in the second hour as well. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We continue on the other side. Stay with us.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.